Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is the one, the only Pro Wrestling Interviews. I'm Dr. John Stamey, going to be moderating tonight. I will moderately moderate. And we got a great cast and crew with us tonight. First of all, star of WCW, star of stage and screen, actor extraordinaire. He's won awards, and he's a cool dude. The one and only Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, Papa Stro?
Blessed to be here with you. I don't think Michael Buffer could have done a better introduction than what you just did. So thank you so much.
Well, but you see, it was all honest. You know, these honest introductions, they really get you somewhere because you are an award-winning actor. You're an actor as well and an award-winning actor, and you're a wrestler extraordinaire, and you do great things for the community. You're just like, we're glad to have you here. That's all I got to say. And from the Columbia area, or at least his area code says so, the one, the only from, I think he was in WCW, Sinister. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Can't complain, and honored to be here among the panel of guys.
Well, we are glad to have you here. It's always fun to have you here, and we're going to have a lot of exciting and invigorating chat. And one of the stars of the pop culture stars, the one, the only, and he's in our northernmost outpost tonight, Todd Saxton. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
Hey, I'm doing outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. Hope everyone is doing well.
We're glad you're here. So, yeah, we've got our some of our favorite people on this show tonight, and we're just gonna share some opinions, because I tell you what, those are good things to share. Now, as I was doing an early call around, Sinister said he had a couple of things he wanted to discuss. So would you get us started, sir?
Oh, yeah, be happy to. Well, you know, first of all, I got a lot of respect for him. He's, I say he's one of the founding, what he is, like, one of the main founding blocks of our business, of our industry. And what he's about to do or rumored to do, I give him credit for it, you know, for stepping back through the ropes after, what, say, 10, 12 years, if not. And, I got to give props to him. I don't know how everybody else feel about it, because they may think he might injure himself or, you know, something might happen, but, you know, from what I see and understand, he always kept himself in shape, and he's really trying to, you know, help upgrade the business, even at this, you know, this time. So my question to everybody on the panel right now, he's going up against a guy who's, say, mid or late 20s, and this is rumored to be going on, this is supposed to happen at WrestleMania. So my question to everybody on the panel and even people that's listening, what are your feelings on Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee at WrestleMania?
Let's get it on. I'm excited.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That sounds like a vote for. That's great, Papa Stro.
I'm excited. I'm a big fan of the Pat McAfee show, by the way. Man, that's a fun show, man. That interview deal with Brock Lesnar, man, that was awesome. Makes me want to get a thing of Brock Lesnar's, like, and the Bearded Brothers, like, little meat sauce he's got going on, man. God. But, but yeah, man, Vince, man, God bless him, man. I mean, he looks better now than most people in their 30s. It's amazing.
How much of that, guys, do you think is a combination of ego, not willing to give up the controls, and why those can be viewed as the negatives, what about this, the passion for the industry?
All the above.
Which would be the positive.
Vince ego? No, get out of here. you know, you see this footage of him a while back of showing when they were doing that match at the Titan Towers there on the pay-per-view, and there's footage of Vince showing him how to fall, and he actually took the fall himself. Did you see that?
He's still got it.
He does.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the face, right? It's like I paste it. You know what I mean? You put the face, right? But you like the body's like, wait a minute, what's wrong here? Because his body looks amazing.
Right. Yeah. He's a different animal. I give that to him, you know, for a guy who I think wakes up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and gets to the gym about 5 and works out and has breakfast, then come back home, change and jump on a private jet and go somewhere. I gotta hand it to him. He definitely keeps himself going.
He does. Hey, sister, did any of y'all hear about the story with him and Jericho one time? Because they had just did a show, apparently, right? And Vince invited Jericho to work out with him in the gym after the show later that night. And Chris was like, he thanked him. He said, but that's okay. I'm kind of beat. I'll see you in the morning, right? So apparently Jericho wakes up in the morning, looks at his phone. He gets the image from Vince, and Vince is flexing in the gym, and Vince is calling Chris the P word.
Oh, that's bad. No wonder Chris Jericho don't like to work out anymore. That is awesome.
Oh, mercy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's a guy that doesn't ever seem to have slowed down is Chris Jericho. It's not like he ever knew what a brake pedal was.
No.
Well, you know, you're right. You got to hand it to him. He never wants to slow down, and he's really, I mean, when he went to AEW and became their first world heavyweight champion, it seemed like he just got better over time. And right now, him and Eddie Kingston is going to have a big match. And besides, I don't know if anybody saw that promo between him and Eddie Kingston, but that was pretty good right there.
Oh, it really was. It really was.
Yeah. I mean, that was more like in your face, you know, personal, I'm a trash you. you don't see too many promos like that. Yeah, but Vince is a workhorse. I give that to him. But like you said, and maybe that's ego and not want to give up control of the business, but you know, he always come through. He always got something in his back pocket.
He does, and he was never really small. I mean, you know, before his role was, you know, for the casual fan, when he was sitting there, whether he was commentating with Jesse Ventura or whoever, he was never a little dude.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Y'all remember that bit where he got hurt that one time? They were having a match. I think it was one of the Rumbles, I think. And Vince came, you know, power walking down to the ring and got in the ring and hurt both his quads. And even him sitting in the ring with two hurt quads. He's barking orders at everybody. He's no selling it, right? He's just like barking orders at Bubba Ray and the Dudleys. They're all looking at him like, they could. Oh, what a tough man. I swear.
Yeah. Well, there's some leadership by example there. You've got some folks that would lead a promotion and tell people what to do and not be able to do it.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Because it's kind of, you're right about that, because it's kind of funny. This guy, every time a promotion think they have him beat, he always come right back on top. How he does it, I never know.
He's like Teflon, man. just when you think he's down, he'll turn the tables on you in a heartbeat.
He sure will. He'll definitely do that.
He's faced a variety of challenges. I mean, there was a ton of legal stuff that's happened over the decades that he's dealt with. And he's come out pretty darn well across the board.
Yeah,
I remember, I remember Hall and Nash doing an interview, in-ring interview, right? And, you know, Nash is like this, he's dogging Vince and everything, and he hands the mic over to Scott. Isn't that right, Scott? And Scott just looks at him and he says, hey, Kev, hey, bro, I'm not burning no bridges.
Keep that job.
Right.
Yeah, he definitely want to keep that job.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of keeping jobs, is the incident with him and Nails, is that actually true?
I've heard that story from a lot of people about the altercation they had where they went at it in the office, apparently. Nails and Vince.
Yeah, I keep hearing stories about that too. I'm like, wow. I don't know if it was over a money contract or something, but you know, I'm like you. I heard about two or three different things, and you know, Nails, I heard that he got real aggressive. Like physically aggressive. I don't know if it was a bad contract or something happened.
Oh, God. I would hate to be the fly on the wall when that went down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but, one thing Vince is real good for. I give him this. He's good at fooling people because I don't know if you guys remember Elias, the guy who used to come out to the ring with a guitar.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there's also a rumor saying that he was never fired and he's set to return with a new look. And he's clean shaven and he's got a haircut because – I guess they're going to pick up from the promo when he threw the guitar in the fire. So I don't know what kind of project they got waiting for him. Or, you know, if they're going to bring him back doing a special pay-per-view or what. But they definitely got something in the works for him.
Oh, man, that should be interesting.
Oh, yeah, very. I don't know why, but I got a feeling they're going to probably – be a Liar / Macho Man Randy Savage type gimmick. That's what I'm
thinking. Well, was that the Spider-Man character that he was Bonesaw or something like that? We fought Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, no, that's not a bad idea.
Right. Oh, I dug it, man. When I saw the movie, I was like, yo, this is nice.
Yeah. Definitely.
Elias.
Yes, it's set to return. I don't know exactly when, but it's in the works.
Yeah, you know, I thought he was very talented.
Say again?
I thought he was very talented. Yeah, I thought he was very talented.
Yeah, because he seemed to he did, you know, he'd have heat or whatever with a lot of folks, and it none of it ever seemed horrible. You know, it seemed like he could kind of mess with anybody, and whether he was more heel or they were more heel, he seemed to be able to change to adjust to who he was dealing with. He seemed to be able to do that pretty well. So, I mean, he seemed to have that adaptability, that flexibility that's needed.
Right. Yeah.
And unlike some, he could sing and play the guitar.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Was that a shot at B.B. King where he could either do one or the other?
No, I Honky Tonk Man, cough, cough. But
gotcha.
Yeah,
but that was the whole bit with the Honky Tonk Man. He never did give us his encore performance.
I'm sure he did. Speaking of Honky Tonk Man, did you know that what's it called Disco Inferno? He was supposed to go to the WWF at the time, and he was supposed to be the protege for the Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
That is, that's going
why
deep
did they
there,
do,
man.
Why did they do that? Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious.
I don't know. I think it had something to do with Bill Goldberg, because I think at the time, Bill Goldberg, well, you know him and Disco Inferno, I think they knew each other since college, and I think Bill, before wrestling, he was working at a bar as a bouncer, and him and Disco kind of knew each other, and they didn't live too far apart, and I think when Bill Goldberg got into the scene, he kind of helped brought Disco Inferno over, if I'm not mistaken. I know they knew each other in the past. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would have definitely been a good thing if Disco could have been the protege for the Honky Tonk Man. And,
oh, man, yeah.
That could have been fun. Holy crap, that could have been fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I still listen to his podcast, him and Conan's podcast, every now and then. Keep it 100. They do.
Yeah. Yeah, and Conan got grouchy.
Didn't he?
Real grouchy. Yeah. Guys, I don't know. Yeah.
That'd been cool. You know that would have worked too. I think him being the protege for Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have definitely worked, but I don't know. I guess it wasn't the right time or something, but that definitely would have pulled things off.
And I could see Dusty putting
the potential
money stock
for
into
fun
that.
With that. Sorry, Stro.
No, that's fine. I was saying that Dusty would have really jumped on that creatively in the back. I think he really would have been. He would have pushed that.
Yeah. It definitely would have worked. Speaking of Dusty, there's also a rumor that Cody Rhodes might be used in WrestleMania. And I hate to say it, but they're potentially thinking about having a rival between him and Edge.
Ah,
I don't know how you guys feel about it. I don't know. I just can't wrap my head around this Cody Rhodes type deal.
It takes a lot to be in a comfortable position, then all of a sudden want to jump ship like he did.
That's true. But how do you think the fans would accept him as a face, a heel, or is he going to get booed, popped, or is he coming?
It was getting to the point in AEW where his tag team partner could be Mother Teresa, and they'd still boo him out of the house.
Oh, man.
He got that much heat, Cody. Yeah. It was crazy. And his wife, same way, Brandy.
Oh, yeah.
She had the same problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear nobody likes her.
You know what's bad when she made Dan Lambert babyface? And he's like one of the biggest crap talkers they got. And they were cheering him over her. That says a lot.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You got to be off.
Well, I guess that kind of answers Sinister's question. Yes, he pretty much got to come out heel. Don't do much to do any other way. Although, would that guy's creative side? What about trying to play somebody off as good and knowing that they're just going to get such a negative reception? Because sometimes the worse suppressed, the better. If you will.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. When I look at this guy, I just don't know how to take him, you know. As long as he don't come back and do Stardust, please don't. But.
Right. Because sometimes there's one thing following the family lines and stuff, but you saw that Goldust was definitely a departure from family line, just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you would love Stardust then.
Oh, no. Ooh, I hate it.
You guys know there's been some outrageously outstanding generational stuff that's happened in the sport. And not everybody tried to be a clone from above, but they weren't going to say no to people realizing the connection to the family and the previous talent, but they weren't strictly speaking riding the coattails, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, I understand. You like just being creative. Well, being creative, on that note, was Goldust invented to shame the Rhodes family name, or did Dusty just come up with that on his own?
Originally, the word was that Dustin hated it in the beginning. He wasn't crazy about it at all, but he made it work. He decided to go through it and make it. He made it work.
Yeah, he did. He did that as you know, as he played that character, he had some pretty awkward moments, you know, especially with Ahmed Johnson with the kiss thing. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I heard that went south because I don't know if the kiss was real or he was supposed to, like, miss his lips, but
I heard that things got a little bit out of control. And the
well,
same
if there
thing
was tongue involved, it was out of control. But the oh Lord, just saying, there's a difference between, you know, you got people that'll do that whole turn their head and do a smack lips at someone, you know, just being silly. And I think we've all seen people happen to go ahead and touch, and they're both like, poof, 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 you know, afterwards and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you'll do crazy shit to sell it. Actors got to do crazy stuff. And let's face it, they ask them to do a hell of a lot of acting anymore.
You know, Dustin was saying one time, that in the match with Savio, that Savio is actually giving him pointers on his gimmick, helping him out. That was pretty wild. Back when I think Savio was doing the whole Quang thing, or I think he was doing like the Quang, or maybe he was just doing Savio himself. I'm not sure, but it was during that time period.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was. Was that back like early 90s or?
I believe so.
Yeah, I remember that gimmick. Yeah, I remember that.
But he was saying Savio was actually helping him out with pointers during their match.
That's wild.
Yeah, that is.
I guess it was better than watching Liberace videos.
Well, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely.
The frog.
Yeah. Just that gold dust gimmick when it came out, man, that thing was kind of left a little too, it was just a little too over the top.
It was edgy for the time. It sure was.
Yeah it was, because even when he was stalking Razor Ramon, I almost started watching wrestling because I didn't know what the business was going to at that time. I was like, what is this?
Well, how much of that would have been from a corporate standpoint that they just didn't want to do the family line routine in that case? What did corporate interfere with that to come up with that gimmick to try to get it so far away from Dusty? Do you guys think that was a factor?
Well, it was their brainchild. It was corporate's brainchild. That's something they came up with, right? So, I mean, that's why, you know, it wasn't Dustin's idea in the beginning. It was theirs.
Oh, you had mentioned how he did take the gimmick early. I think some articles, I'd seen some of that stuff too, but you think that was their idea to get as far away from that as possible? Maybe good intention, but if you will.
Well, it's just like anything they create, you know, they want to make it their idea. Like, it doesn't matter what you did before. It's like when you're working for them, you know, that's a lot of their like way of thinking is like, they'll invest time and money in their own creations, right? If Vince creates something for you, then he'll invest, then nine times out of ten it's work because it's a Vince creation. But, you know, you notice a lot of guys and gals that go in there that aren't of Vince's creations. They don't get the spotlight as much as other creations that Vince actually creates. So, you know, this is how it works up there. It's a different world up there. It really is.
Right back to ego. But I guess what I was thinking
like
of in this case,
ego,
they just didn't want to tie him.
They have done this for years. They have done this for years, Todd. They've done this for years. It isn't just an ego thing. It's, you know, everybody goes through it, whether it be name, copyright. They literally want to own everything you do. They want to own everything you do.
Okay. That's a business thing where they're going to do that for the copyright side. I'm following there, Stro. But it's also nobody can tell the damn boss they're wrong. You know, they just damn it, their idea is better no matter what. I don't know. I've had to use an example at work lately that I probably shouldn't have to use. But when people are working a multi-stage project, you don't always have all parts of your project going on at the same time. And Stroh, I realize this don't happen a lot in North Carolina, and it don't happen a lot in South Carolina either. But, well, unless we push to the west end of the states, the you know, if you're building a house, you're not pouring the foundation if you haven't finished digging the basement yet. So, again, not all stages of project are happening at the same time. So, it don't always work. Sometimes
oh,
the boss
oh,
is just
Todd, I've lived
stuff
in many states.
Wrong.
I've lived in many states, not just North and South Carolina. I'm a world traveler, bro. I know how some places work. Trust me, I feel you.
Oh, I know, but I'm aware that you're smarter than the average bear. But I'm just saying, let's face it, our neighborhood, they're just paint a lot of dadgum basements.
Well, I mean, going back to the whole WWE, world of WWE, I mean, it's just the way they've done things, man. I mean, if you've done some things in the past, have a history in the past that they feel that they can make money off of you, then they'll promote that, you know, to no end. But I'm just saying, a lot of the times, it's got to be whatever you do, it's got to be their creation, whether it's your look, whether it's your name, whether it's a certain trademark saying or whatever. I mean, they're all about eyes and ears and everything you do, basically. I mean, that's just the way they've been for years.
Oh, yeah, if nothing else, just think T-shirt sales, because if your gimmick carries over from where you came from, they're not getting their percentage.
Exactly.
Or
it's
of a
business.
Percentage, yep.
It's all business. I mean, that's why they come, you know, sports entertainment and over wrestling and all that, because they didn't want to pay taxes for pro wrestling bit. So, I mean, some years back. So, I mean, yeah, it's all business. And now they're a big corporation now. So, I mean, they're more than just a wrestling promotion. They're like a big conglomerate worldwide entity.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure how many of the subsidiaries they have anymore, because it's insane the way the it's a shame they don't have any heavy competition, because the old Monday Night Wars were money, just saying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have three promotions on the rise, and we just mentioned one of them about the Cody situation, leaving from one to the other. It's just a question of, you know, going back to what Sinister was saying, you know, with AEW, you know, I mean, I just, the thing is, they've got some great talent there. They really do. And it's a shame to see them, like, I'll give you an example. Jay Lethal arriving there. To this day, one of the biggest signings they've had. I mean, this guy, former Impact, former ROH legend, Ring of Honor legend, if you will. I mean, he was one of the greatest champions there of that promotion before they stopped this past year. And you hardly see the guy anymore. I mean, I saw him on Rampage and all that now, here and there. But, I mean, this guy should be doing big things.
Yeah.
As talented as Jay Lethal is, and I'm just using him as an example. I mean, you got other people doing, you know, you have the Bryan Danielsons, the CM Punks, and all that, and but it's like they got talent there. I mean, look at Keith Lee, who just debuted the other week, right? And
yeah.
And you're hoping maybe and I don't know, the way they've treated Powerhouse Hobbs and Brian Cage in the past and all this. I mean, with the exception of maybe Wardlow, I mean, I wish they would do more of their bigger guys. And I'm just kind of, you know, concerned with the whole Keith Lee thing that, you know, he'll get lost in the shuffle too, you know what I'm saying? And it's just not fair because they got great talent. It's just knowing what to do with it. And it all goes back to the creative deal. They've you know, in my opinion, they really got to get it together there to help out the talent they got. But that's just me.
Okay, there's something you said there that I keep hearing in the and you know me, I don't keep the most constant pulse, so I could be way behind here. But for all the signings they do, it's like they sign people and don't know what the hell to do with them. Would that be fair? And they don't necessarily use the people. So they get Larry, Curly, Moe, Shemp, Curly, Joe, and Joe, but they'll only ever feature two at a time.
Now, I can understand, this is nothing against AEW, and I'm not, you know, for listening, I'm not hating on AEW by no means, but it's just, they got great talent there, and I wish they would do more than some that they have been, and, I mean, look at FTR, for example. I mean, they're like one of the greatest tag teams going right now, and just, I don't know, it's just like, you got them, you got they got great tag team division going right now, and thing is, as many people as we see on that promotion, there's a whole bunch of people we hardly ever see that sign with them, right? And it kind of reminds me of the whole WCW thing where it was like, and WCW had way more people for their promotion than AEW right now, and you had people like sitting at home for a year, right, waiting, signed now, already signed, exclusive deals, waiting to get their break. And it's just like, man, you know, and you keep seeing all these backdoor, open door debuts. And the thing is, there's open talent door there that hasn't been utilized enough as it is. So it's like, it makes you wonder, you know what I mean?
I'm with you. So let's do this kind of a different way as opposed to saying what we're seeing that's wrong with there. Let's kind of throw out suggestions, and I do believe Professor Steve has been joined. I'm not sure, but I think
he has.
I heard listening, now muted. All right, so Professor Steve, how can we throw out suggestions to AEW to freaking make them more successful, have them get a few bucks in their pocket so they'll get even more successful, and more interesting for the viewers? All yours, Steve.
I think the signings do help, but Stroh isn't wrong with some of the bigger guys not being as utilized other than Wardlow and maybe Hobbs, but I think they just rely on signings a lot because of they don't want to do rematches. That's one thing I've heard Tony doesn't like doing is doing rematches, and he does that a lot. So I think that's particularly why he adds so much to the roster, and he adds people that I don't even know, brand new, not even 18 yet. It's just I think he's bringing in Jeff Hardy, maybe Cross, and we still don't know if Cody's coming back or not. I mean, that could be a work. I don't think it is, but he hasn't. There's no word of him officially signing yet with the WWE. But I think if they can just utilize their top stars continually, have some long-term storytelling, like the Adam Page and Kenny Omega rivalry. If they could have more long-term stories like that, then I think they'll keep viewers invested, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of,
I like it. Well, Sinister, exactly. I mean, you were jumping in next. Your thoughts, AEW, if you were their creative advisor, what are you thinking would be cool to work for them?
Well, actually, to me, I would definitely use more big guys because, and you know, nothing against small guys, anything like that, but you know, I know back in the 80s, the big guys was popular. The 90s, it kind of started falling off, but you still got to have, you know, your main big guys, but you also, you know, you just can't be signing, you know, people all the time. And I got all these people and I don't know where to fit them in and what to do with them because the TV tape, this might be an hour or two, and I got like over 100 people backstage trying to figure out when they're going to go on next. What I would do, I would just keep it a limited core, like AEW Dark. I would have a limited core for AEW Dark. And then for the other AEW TV special show, I would have a limited edition for that. And that way, I would have everybody locked into a contract where we don't have to keep hiring people and hiring people and hiring people. So if they want to see something new, I would like bring somebody from the one AEW brand to the other AEW brand, mix it up for a while, make something new and fresh so the, you know, people wouldn't get bored. Because right now, Cesaro, from what I've heard, he's just left the WWE, and now AEW is looking at him, which he's a good talent. But when he comes to AEW, my thing would be, okay, I got this big talent from WWE, but how am I going to fit him in when I got all these people backstage? And that's why I would rather pick the best from, you know, the best from the best and, you know, run it that way. Because when you just got people floating all around that we find people send at home, you know, it's hard to try to come up with something new and fresh and keep everybody happy. You know, I mean, that's just my thoughts on it.
If I can add more, I think they might have to just add another hour to Rampage if the roster keeps increasing. And then maybe not creatively, but I hope they get money. Well, I hope they can eventually get a streaming service. That's not creative focused, but I think that would help them too because you still need to have TNT or TBS to watch it. And I think if you can get something other than Fight TV, then that would help tremendously.
You know, you could have the greatest, most talented person in the world, but if you don't have a creative backing, getting them out there and getting them over on the television tape into the house shows, et cetera, then, you know, it's like going against the grain. It'll never work. And a lot of reasons why Vince and company defeated WCW in the Monday Night Wars was the fact that they had the whole – at the time, they had a whole round table of people, right? They would all pitch ideas together, and it would be, and the idea would snowball. And by the time they came to Vince was the yes man or no man whether an idea would go through or not. And when he would say yes to an idea, nine times out of ten, that idea would work because it had everybody's input. And that was something at the time WCW didn't have. You had a revolving door of people coming and going, and everybody wanted to do a different idea from the one before, and it was like having a bunch of Chiefs but no Indians, basically. So it's like if AEW can just get it together creatively and put their ideas in motion and let Tony Khan be the yes man and no man whether an idea goes through or not, and when he gets the green light to something, then, you know, a lot of times a snowball idea would work because everybody would have some input into that idea, for whether it be a segment, whether it be a talent, et cetera. So, I mean, I just think that they got to get the creative end together to make it happen. And I think if they did that, then you would see a big difference I mean, and you could see there were some angles you see there in their television, like you said, the MJF and CM Punk feud, which is really getting a lot of momentum because, you know, like you alluded to earlier, it's long-term storytelling. And I think a lot of it's because CM Punk has put some effort into it as well as MJF. So, I mean, if that's the thing. If they would get ideas from everybody and put them together, one big idea, and let Tony Khan be the guy to say yes or no, you know, kind of like what Vince did, you know, back in the early Attitude Era and all that, I think it would work for him. I really do.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard a handful of things across the board here. From additional airtime, we know how that works. Alternative air methods. I heard kind of split the rosters a little bit, like WWE did, where they had their Monday/Thursday brand, and they kind of split their talent to give so more people got exposure over the course of the two nights. And good grief, let's have that support unit of the creative side sitting there working it, and let those people work things, because I'll go back to, again, we got here a roundtable of folks. We're out here throwing out ideas. In the green room, I threw out a suggestion. I got pretty much shot down. That's fine. But if you don't have your team doing a supportive green room and sharing the ideas.
That's now.
And it weren't your idea. That thing is, it weren't your idea. So don't feel bad. That wasn't your idea.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't my idea. I mentioned somebody else's idea. I'm tracking. I was just pointing it out. I get it. But here's where it's valid. Is we as a group, we're having a discussion. And we're saying, yeah, that's not going to bring value to the table going forward. So it's okay. But that's where the thing is. Our green room was an example of that, having those things. But right here, we did this live on the air. We got a bunch of people threw stuff out. And we're like, hey, this wasn't critical. We're just saying, hey, have you guys thought about this? Have you guys considered that? Or, you know, we're here to help. We did that. This was just kind of, we had our, I don't know, 10 minutes roughly of their time here to try to suggest what we thought might work, might help, things that we've seen work in the business. And we pointed out things that didn't work and things that might help. So, yeah, this is a team working together. So, no, getting shut down in the green room, my feelings aren't hurt. I'm okay. I don't need tux pads, Stro. I'm all good.
No. I'm not talking about that, man. No, it wasn't your idea to begin with, what I'm saying. No.
Yeah, I'm tracking.
What you brought up was a creative blunder, basically. God knows I've made myself blunders,
yes,
too. It's just like matches. I've had great matches, and other matches I feel like, damn, why didn't you step in the ring and lock up?
It was a creative blunder, you know, and I was just trying to tie some odds and then stretch together. Yeah, it's all good.
Even he will tell you that. Originally, you know, and he did a lot of good things. Matter of fact, he gave his salary to charity because he didn't want the money. He was actually a good dude.
Yep, wow. It was just bit, you know. Business side, why or whatever. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and that's the thing. But so here's what I'm talking about. We had a team sit there and discuss this, but we got to have a boss be willing to listen to his team to do that. You may have some really good bosses, but sometimes they miss stuff. And if they're not willing to listen, son of a gun, things go rough. Just saying.
Well, that's why a lot of promotions go under. because certain promoters think they're bigger than the promotion and their talent. And whenever I learned a long time ago, whenever someone gets to be that way, you know a promotion's going downhill. It happens every time.
All right, I got to throw this out. We're at 10 minutes. And I'll throw this kind of Dr. John, where everybody does kind of round table on the outro, if you will, as we
yes,
wrap
sir.
Up.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Well, 9 minutes.
You got it.
Make it so.
So I guess it's time for everybody to go around the room and tell what we're doing. We're going to do our plugs as Papa Stro taught us so well 6 years ago. So, Todd, I'm going to let you call on everybody because you're doing such a good job calling on people right now.
All right, I can do that. That's hilarious. I like the way I did that. I handed it off, and I'm like, hot potato, back in my hands. Hey, Sinister, you've got, I know you've been working on trying to get some things going on. You've been doing additional training. What do you got going on, brother? What do you got coming on? What do we need to be following?
Right now, I'm nothing at the moment. I'm still, you know, training, and I just waiting to get back in the ring, trying to get a show as, you know, fast as possible, because I'm actually working on a new character. So I've just been brainstorming a lot, so that's basically what I got going on.
All right. Hey, well, I got to ask, if you're working on a new character, is it going to be like Goldust?
Oh, hell no. I mean, no.
I was pretty sure that was going to be your response.
No. I don't want to go that route.
I love you much. That was so honest. That was good to go. That was such a great reaction. I like it. Good to go. Now, look, you've been doing some serious stuff, MMA oriented. Where are we at on that side of things?
Oh yeah, I'm still training in the jiu-jitsu and the Muay Thai. So right now I'm brown belt level, and hopefully one day I hope I could get a kickboxing match, you know, because you have to get in the ring in order to get your, you know, black certification in kickboxing. So hopefully I'm looking at some ISKAF tournaments, you know, that might be coming up in the near future. So I've been working hard on that and watching a lot of video footage and training.
That's
well,
awesome.
Keep us posted for sure. Keep us posted because, dude, yeah, I know you got my digits. Look, anything, I know you got Steve and Papa Stro and Velvet and Dr. John, anything that you can send us that we can throw out on social media, maybe send out to other folks to help give you some visibility, we're here for you.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
definitely.
No worries. Papa Stro, you always got a million things going on. I know you got some stuff that just came out. Hit us, brother.
Well, this week, Tuesday night, In the Room podcast, I'll be there, VOCNation.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then WCW Retro this Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing tag team wrestling as a whole, past, present, and future on WCW Retro this Thursday night. So you want to talk tag team wrestling, call in, please do. Good to hear you. Get your payback on that. Oh, yeah. Then Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on Facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature will be the giant Gila monster.
Oh, the Gila monster.
Yeah.
Now, is this the original way back when, or is this a remake?
Yes. No, this is original.
Oh, I love it. The ones that were riding with the nitroglycerin in the old hot rod that had Jack in suspension, and it was bouncing all over in the vehicle. Still
yeah,
a great movie.
Yeah, that, the original, yeah. That's kind of like the consensus of the whole Strozone bit, the show horror sci-fi flicks from back in the day. So if you tune in, please, Friday night, Strozone, United Standard Time. And then I'm going to be a part of I'm going to the Machete Awards that Nightmare Factory is holding this weekend in Morehead City, North Carolina. So I'm looking forward to being part of that. And for more information, go to nightmarefactorync.com for more info. And that's that.
Well, that's awesome, because I remember a great commercial you did for the Nightmare Factory that was just short of getting times for awards, and that was that good. Now, let me ask you a real quick question. I understand there were some more Facebook things for different offspring, if you will, for some of your quadrupeds.
Oh, my fur baby. Yes. Okay. Let me do a roundup here. Sparky's webpage is Fans of Sparky on Facebook. Ebony's webpage is Ebony's Doghouse on Facebook. Daisy's new page is Daisy Blue page on Facebook. And Duke's new page is Duke's Domain on Facebook. So check them out.
Awesome. Yeah. I saw that had stuff come across my feed. I had picked up on it. Didn't want you to admit that. All right, Professor Steve, what you got, brother?
I'm just always look forward to pro wrestling interviews and calling WCW Retro, and looking forward to March and April. March, there's like a convention in Richmond called GalaxyCon, so I'm considering going to that. And then in April, there's a United Elite Wrestling show in Richmond on the 16th of April, and then in late April there's a concert that I already got my ticket to, so lots to look forward to.
All right, what's the concert?
Yeah, it's a Richmond band called Windham. They're kind of doom metal. They're pretty good, I think. I think if you're into metal, hard rock, or Black Sabbath, you'd like Windham. So
nice.
Definitely check them out. I just recently got some merch from them, and then one of my favorite UEW wrestlers, Blackest Jack, he's got Pro Wrestling Tees store, I think, that's opening up, and then his brand is
show.
Yeah, his merch brand, I think it's X-Crew brand. I got one of their shirts, so definitely check out X-Crew brand. They have other wrestlers on their merch crew. So, yeah. Thanks for having me on. I'm getting the plugs in.
All right, by all means.
Absolutely.
All right, Dr. John, Georgia Bigfoot, talk to me, brother.
Well, we'll talk about that next week, because I have a big, big announcement to make. Palmetto Caricatures is back in business, and we will see Papa Stro at the Power Comic-Con, and we will see Papa Stro at the Charlotte Comic-Con. And Palmetto Caricatures is back in business. Real talented artist named Dylan Tomash, and he's from Franklin, North Carolina. And he's going to be going around with me back on the Comic-Con circuit. So I can't wait to be back there. We'll talk about Comic-Cons next week. But I'll tell you what, we're back in black, as AC/DC says. So it's great.
All right, John, we'll wrap us up. Give the radio station IDs and whatnot, sir.
Absolutely. We will say thanks a lot to WLSC AM and FM, Lawrence, South Carolina, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And to the Internet and the World Wide Web, because we're grateful to be here. Thanks a lot to everybody who was with us tonight. We had Pop Stro, we had Sinister, we had Todd, we had Steve Logan, and we just had a great time. So we'll see you next week, same bat time, same bat channel. on the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. See y'all next week.
Big hug. Good night, everyone. We miss you. We all miss right, you, right, Velvet.
We do miss you, Velvet. Take care.
Yes, sir.